Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And now the intersection of news and comedy. So where do we draw the line? When is it okay to joke about difficult, even tragic events? Jon Stewart, host of The Daily Show, seems to manage that often tricky balancing act. Here he is talking about the Ferguson case, the decision by the grand jury not to indict police officer Darren Wilson for shooting dead 18-year-old Michael Brown.
This is an isolated incident, like the police shooting of Tamir Rice in Cleveland. Or Dante Parker in San Bernardino County, or Kendrick McDade in Pasadena, or Armand Bennett in New Orleans, or John Crawford in... What time does Colbert start? What time does his show start? It's in like a half hour, right? All right, we'll move on.
All right, somehow he gets us to laugh about that. So, the intersection of news and comedy, or politics and humor, is the focus of a forum this evening at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government in Cambridge. Actor Seth Rogen will be there. So will comedian Liz Winstead, one of the creators and former head writers of The Daily Show, and she's with us now. And Liz Winstead, it's a great pleasure to have you back on Radio Boston.
I'm so glad to be here.
Thanks for coming in. I know you just raced in from the airport, so we feel lucky to have you. I'd love to start with just that question that I sort of posed there about how you kind of, where's the line between serious news and humor, and when is it okay and when is it not, and what made that joke work that we just heard?
I mean, it's sort of a question that people ask a lot, and the bottom line is there really isn't a line, because there's people who will say you should never try to infuse humor in subjects that are painful, off base, to make a point. There's people who, when they hear you do it, can't get past the subject matter. And then there's people who say go for it, and people who do it brilliantly. So I feel like there's rules for everybody that everybody follows for their own selves. You try not to make the victim the punchline. Sometimes pointing out the hypocrisy or the social climate with which we arrive at a situation can be joked at, the hypocrisy of ignoring that. But I always say, when it comes to humor and doing political things or topics that are edgy, I would never tell anybody to not do a joke. But what I would say is, know that when you decide to go down that road, the second that material passes your lips, the rest of the world gets to interpret it. It is no longer your own, and everybody else has the same First Amendment right to judge and feel what you're doing as you do about saying it. And it's tricky, but it's just the way it is. People own it. And so I think that that's part of the excitement. That's part of the danger. That's part of the how you know when... you know, where the temperature of the country is. It's such a complicated question.
Yeah, it really is, but a fascinating one. There's more about this I want to talk about, but I want to just remind listeners, since we were just hearing Jon Stewart there, that The Daily Show came to be because it began in part with a one-woman show you were doing right here in Boston.
Yeah, that's right.
Remind us about that. I know I've talked to you about this in the past.
I know. At the Back Alley Theater, I was doing a show in... Inman Square? I think it's called Inman Square.
Yeah, Inman Square.
Yep. And I don't think the theater, I think it's called...
That was a million years ago. I actually came and did an interview with you back then.
I know, you sold out my show. Thank you, BUR listeners. And so it was, I had been a stand-up comic who had been observational, had some politics, self-proclaimed feminist, kind of talked about women's issues on stage, and then also just general observational humor. And when that first Gulf War happened, I was on a blind date with a guy who somebody set me up with, and we were at, I suggested we go see La Dolce Vita in New York City. And he's like, isn't that in black and white? As though it was a bad thing. And instead of calling the date off, I decided to go with it because I'm Minnesota nice. And I was like, well, maybe he's got some things to offer. Turns out, no. But after the movie, we went and had a drink. And it was the night of that first Gulf War. And it was the very first night that America watched a war sort of unravel in their homes. But there was theme songs, and there was graphics, and there was really attractive people.
War logos.
It was, it felt like a mini series about war. And as I was watching it without any thought other than what's happening here, my date said, this is so cool. And I had an epiphany where I was like, are they reporting on a war or trying to sell me a war? And from that moment, I looked at the media with an entirely different lens, my humor, I started just voraciously paying more attention, taking in more information about the relationship between politicians and the media and what was actually, you know, basically felt like a press release going out instead of analysis and reporting. And my comedy sort of just went down that path. And as I developed, I did the one-woman show here in Boston called Scream of Consciousness. And then I worked on Jon Stewart's syndicated show. And then when that show got canceled, Jon was hooked up into a development deal at with Letterman Productions. And Comedy Central came to us and said, do you guys want to develop a show that kind of looks at the news and response to the news? And I said to them, I'll never forget it, I said, I totally do, but the one thing that I think is really important is that we take on the constructs of the news and make it a character as well as just telling jokes about the news.
Interesting.
And they agreed with that. And
so what do you mean by that? So you mean making the news a character?
What I mean by that is showing that the drama of a story can sometimes supersede research in a story. I mean, sometimes you go, do they have money actually invested in the research department? Because it seems like the graphics department and the bing bong department has more. So it was really about presentation of stories, how they did it, because it was a very different time when we launched The Daily Show. CNN was the only cable news outfit. And it was sort of the trial of the century of the week, which is what the news was. And then as the news evolved, The Daily Show evolved. And that was kind of fun. We were responding to that news and then all the news magazines that were on. And then we just kind of followed it and followed its lead and took its presentation on as well as the people who were in the media.
Well, I want to make sure we have time to talk about this project that you spent the last couple of years working on, Lady Parts Justice. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, a couple of years ago, I decided that I wanted to take something that I think is incredibly important, which is the erosion of reproductive rights in America, and combine it with what I've seen to work, which is using humor as a tool for change and to raise awareness. So combining those two things, we started a website and a reproductive rights activist organization called Lady Parts Justice, where the focus is to get people engaged in what's happening in their states as far as reproductive health care, because a lot of these draconian laws are coming out of states. So it's a big interactive map that has all these very funny videos on it. You can click on, see a video about what's going on in your state, read about the laws, and then it shows you how to get involved so that people can form their own groups with their own creative communities, activist communities, and sort of cut people off at the knees before you wake up and go, how did Ted Cruz become my senator? It's like, well, because he was your state senator first, and you didn't know that.
Well, we've got a clip to play, actually. This is comedian Sarah Silverman, who teamed up with Lady Parts Justice earlier this year to create a video that she called Sarah Silverman is Visited by Jesus Christ. But she also takes on some of the serious stuff around reproductive rights. So here she is talking about the situation in Texas.
If Governor Rick Perry gets his way, it will go from having 42 women's health clinics to 5. Do you know how big Texas is? It's like the size of 27 New Hampshires. That's one woman's health clinic every 5.5 New Hampshires. A woman should not have to pack a lunch to get health care.
Good point. And funny. So the point, so there's an example of how sort of comedy, I guess, can give way to seriousness to get a message out.
Yeah. And what we've done a lot of research with the organization, we found that a lot of women are really woefully ill-informed just about how bad it is. And they're not going to traditional spaces to find out information. So with people like Sarah Silverman, myself, and some other people, we decided, what if we were to do these videos that actually wound up in the spaces they already are so they could learn a little bit more and say, wow, I had no idea, because the language has become a little bit stale. And we also don't want to have women feel shamed or stigmatized about being sexual beings, needing reproductive health care. We want them to feel like, you know what, I'm a person in society and I have a myriad of things that I do with my life. Being a sexual health being is one of them. And I want to make sure that all my rights are exercised. And you know what? It's fun. Turns out sex is fun.
That's a great thought on which to end this program. And my time with you, Liz Winstead, thank you so much for coming
Thanks
in.
Thanks for having me.
So that's Liz Winstead. She is co-creator of The Daily Show. She's the former head writer. She's also a stand-up comedian, activist, and the author of the memoir Liz, Free or Die. She'll be appearing with actor Seth Rogen tonight at a forum on politics and humor at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. You can find out more information about that at RadioBoston.org. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.